I've been a parent for a little over 3 years. In the months leading up to the third year, I worried unnecessarily over why it was taking Joseph a while to start talking. When he did, we celebrated every stage of his journey to communication. His first incoherent word, his first coherent word, his first sentence, you get the idea. In more recent times, we are faced with a new challenge. Joseph's newfound love for monologues. Somehow, Joseph is now convinced that the best way to get his idea across is to burst into an impassioned soliloquy. He waits for no man while he makes his point. Wary of anyone who might question the logic behind his demands and queries, he hurries to make his point and boldly proceeds to advocate them, all in one breath. To get a word in edgewise amid that torrent of words is a valuable skill that I've had to master over the past couple of months. Talking to his sister.
Are you my friend, baby? Yes or no?
Yes? Very good, baby.
Asking for his favorite breakfast.
Can I have chocolate muesli for breakfast, Amma? Yes? It's good for Joseph? And it's tasty? That's great, Amma. Where's the spoon?
Wants to watch television.
I can watch TV, Amma. It's only for some time, Amma. I'm not asking to watch for a long time. Only for a short time. And I'm only watching Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig is good, Amma. She's fun. You can watch it with me.
I'm not going to lie. I found it incredibly amusing at first. It warmed my heart that my toddler grew to care about certain things enough to make a case for them. But the longer it went on, the more I knew he needed to be corrected. When it came to matters that weren't good for him or when they violated the rules set for him, I had to put my foot down and let him know that it didn't work that way. He tried to fight back, but quickly learned that he should probably exercise his vocal prowess on other things. These episodes with Joseph often remind me how I used to approach prayer for the longest time. If there was one place where I took full advantage of the soliloquy, it was on my knees, in prayer. See, my mother taught me a prayer when I was around 2 years old. I held on to that 30-second prayer and repeated it word for word every day until I reached my late teens. I sang What a Friend We Have in Jesus every week in church and still thought it made perfect sense to repeat the same prayer unfeelingly over and over again. I saw nothing wrong with that. Why fix something that isn't broken, was my reasoning. Looking back, I'm truly saddened that I let my prayer life be so drab, monotonous, and fruitless for so long. Is your prayer life a combination of absent-minded petitions and thoughtless prayers, hurried and unimaginative? Has it become a chore that you cannot wait to be over and done with? Or maybe, like little Joseph, it has become a monologue of you convincing God of the validity of your requests. Perhaps you think how I used to. Why change something when it seemingly works well enough? These days, my prayers are a lot different. I approach God knowing fully well that everything I take to Him and every area of my life I invite Him into will be infinitely more excellent for having known Him. I approach Him with the knowledge that He loved me enough to give His Son for me, and that He loves me enough to pursue me relentlessly in the process of me becoming more like Him. I approach Him with gratitude and humility, overwhelmed that He chooses to keep our appointments in the quiet corner of my living room. Usually, when we are faced with a problem or a situation that adversely affects us, our first instinct is to push it to the darkest corners of our hearts, and to either worry or bemoan our fate. If we are more of an extrovert, we might choose to unburden our hearts to someone near us or pick up the phone to talk to someone dear. While this might offer some comfort, we will quickly find out that it isn't long-lasting, and that it often leaves the other person feeling drained. Alternatively, when we run to the Lord and confess our worries and fears, He's faithful to prove Himself as the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. God is interested in everything that is a part of your life. The beauty of talking to God about everyday things is the intimacy that you develop through that practice. When I first began my walk with Christ, I was quite unsure of what to talk to God about. I knew all the important things that we were supposed to pray, but I didn't know how to talk to Him as a friend. I heard testimonies from others who did just that, and I longed for that kind of relationship with God. I started small. I started talking to Him about the spices I used while cooking, my conversations with my parents each day, how I felt about the fact that there were no Indian restaurants where we lived, and about the design choices I made while setting up home. What began there soon grew into things that I knew were more important to Him. The more I got to know Him, the more I loved Him. And the more I loved Him, the more I wanted to be exactly how He wanted me to be. In due time, the focus of my prayers changed. I shared my struggle with anger and asked Him to help me change my attitude towards it. I wanted it to be unacceptable in my life. I asked Him to help me spend more time getting to know Him through His Word. I asked for the grace to stop wasting my time watching movies and TV series. I asked for the grace to overcome laziness. When someone got under my skin, I learned to first take it to Him. In the midst of my lavish pity parties, the Lord gently reminded me of how much I needed to change. When I look back, so many of those kinds of prayers have been answered. Others are being answered, and yet others will be answered. What I know for sure is that no conversation with any other person, no matter what degree of relationship, could have produced such spectacular and obvious results. The Lord hears. The Lord answers. Why would we settle for a one-sided conversation when the person on the other end is the Lord of all creation and is most eager to speak with us? How do my monotonous, bland, and meaningless prayers contribute anything to developing my relationship with Christ? On days when I'm convicted of choosing to adopt a detached attitude to prayer, I imagine the ridiculous scenario of greeting my husband in the morning each day with the same set of sentences, nothing more, nothing less, and then proceed to ignore him for the rest of the day. I can imagine the anguish it will produce in his heart and the kind of fruitless marriage it will lead to. This is true of our relationship with God also. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he says in John 15:5. I came across a beautiful prayer that was shared in our home group a couple of months ago. Written by William Barclay and originally intended to be a call to the Lord's Supper, it is a beautiful piece of literature that I found most useful with regard to the way I approached prayer. Come. Not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come, not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come, because you love the Lord a little and would like to love Him more. Come, because He loved you and gave Himself for you.